Today's Soil Management Summit down at St. Cloud is continuing because everybody there, I see on social media, everybody's pretty much nestled in and safe and learning a lot. From the University of Minnesota Office for Soil Health, Anna Cates joins us right now. Anna, how everybody's kind of getting rolling for the Soil Management Summit, I hear.
Sure. We just finished lunch and people are sitting down to some table talks with some of our sponsors. So, yep, everything's kind of rolling along.
Good. And you have very few, it looks like, again, based on social media, it looks like very few were not able to make it.
It looks really full, yeah. I don't think we had I'm sure we had a little drop in numbers, but I saw a few people still registering today anyway, so it always goes a little up and a little down on the day of. But I got here yesterday, so I haven't even gone outside yet today. Haven't put my snow boots on yet.
All right, good. Tell us, before we talk about the Soil Management Summit and what everybody is learning, tell us a little bit about Anna Cates.
I'm the State Soil Health Specialist with the University of Minnesota Extension. So I'm a soil scientist. I trained at UW-Madison, and I've been in my role out of St. Paul. I work statewide in Minnesota. I've been in my role about 4 years.
Isn't it great to get back together again? I mean, face-to-face,
yeah.
The pandemic interruption is over.
Yeah, we were together last year. We were in masks, which feels a little different, and this feels pretty normal. It's really nice.
Very good. All right. Some of the breakout sessions that you've had so far, talking about liquid manure incorporation.
Yes, I went to that one.
And, okay, what did you learn?
Well, let's see. So this is from Eric Young, and he works out of the Marshfield Ag Research Service Station over in central Wisconsin, and he was showing that low disturbance manure, he showed a bunch of different low disturbance manure methods, right? And that's really important here in St. Cloud area. This is a pretty big dairy country. I think he showed the best silage yield was from a sweep injection system, but that did have a little higher nitrous oxide emissions. So, you know, in the long term, if there's some kind of environmental accounting for that, then that might have a detrimental effect, but for straight up yield and, you know, nutrient delivery to your next year's corn silage crop, that sweep injection system looks pretty good.
There are a lot of, objections to the aroma of spreading manure or spreading liquid manure out in, you know, whether
all things in moderation, Mick.
Yeah, but the injecting manure into the soil has really solved most of that problem.
Sure. Obviously, there's an equipment barrier. You can't just go out and, you know, buy one on Tuesday necessarily. Your banker might have something to say about that. But if you can get your hands on one, it can be a very effective system on a number of fronts. Yeah.
We, you know, rent a gator from or a Terra gator, you know, from the local co-op. Maybe there's going to be a lot more of that, especially in the more densely animal agriculture areas like southern and central Minnesota and, yeah, Stearns County, Minnesota, where, mm-hmm. yeah, everybody's got livestock. So we'll see that probably increase in the future, we hope, anyway. Are we talking at the Soil Management Summit, are we talking different tillage systems? Are we talking reduced tillage or just farmers think of tillage differently?
I like that second option, that farmers think of tillage differently. You know, really, maybe you could almost call them creative farming systems. I don't want to introduce a new buzzword, so let's just stick with soil health. That works fine for me. But let's say that the farmers who come here are often just a little more flexible in their thinking. It's not just till everything black every year. They're looking at what's what the year's been like, what kind of residue they have, what their combine left behind, thinking about, well, Do I need to till before next year? What's the soil moisture? This fall was so dry throughout much of Minnesota and probably a lot of your listeners' territory. You know, a tillage pass is probably just going to lead to more evaporation in the fall, and that could really hurt depending on what kind of spring we get. So every year is different, and building a system where you can be creative, where you're not backed into a corner with only one method for fertilizer application, one method for tillage, I think that's something a lot of the farmers who come here are interested in, They talk to each other. They get new ideas to, you know, incorporate into what they already have.
Are you seeing a difference? In the last couple of years, are there fewer just black fields in the fall?
Oh, that's hard to say. You always, the black fields still stick out to my eyes. And, you know, it's like I said, it was a dry fall. And so those black fields could really blow pretty hard as they got dried out. So it's hard to say. That's kind of an ongoing thing, is trying to measure. And we're using some methods like satellite imagery to estimate residue cover. That gives us a sense of how much people are chilling in the fall. And it really does seem to depend on fall conditions, which is not like a trajectory. It's like, you know, in a wet year, people aren't able to get out there until so you see more residue on the surface. This year, they had plenty of time to get out there until, so we might see a little less residue in our satellite imagery assessment for 2022.
Well, there's job security for you, because obviously there are a lot of farmers who just need to, as we said earlier, think differently about tillage. And but maybe there's cover crops that people can incorporate into their recently harvested fields, whether it's recent in August or November.
Yeah, well, November's getting a little late for a lot of our cover crops. You know, then you're pretty much just in the seed that rye with a prayer. Hope you get a little bit of moisture and good conditions to get it out of the ground before a total freeze-up. But yeah, a cover crop can kind of till the ground for you with those growing roots. And so for a lot of people, when you think about the economics of it, they say, oh, I can't buy cover crop seed. But if you think of it as replacing your fall tillage pass in terms of diesel and labor expenses, then it can balance out pretty well and maybe provide you with a pretty similar result, and some benefits on top of that, like, you know, reducing your erosion and having some nitrogen that might have been leached out of the system retained in that cover crop, that living plant. So you got those nutrients growing there, and then maybe they're going to slowly decompose over the next season for your following year's crop, but keeps it in the system, keeps it tight.
We're talking with Anna Cates, who is the University of Minnesota soil health specialist with Extension. There's a lot of buzz right now on carbon capture, carbon credits and all that. But that carbon is different than the carbon we want in the soil. Is that correct?
Well, it is and it isn't, right? I mean, so when you think about carbon getting into the soil, there's pretty much just a couple ways it gets in. The main way is through plants pulling carbon from the air. And then as plants decompose, you start calling it part of the soil. You see, now it's soil carbon, not plant carbon. The other way is through manure, which in the end, it ends up, you know, you apply it on the surface, but it gets incorporated into the bodies of organisms like microbes, like fungi, like little, you know, worms and stuff that live in the soil. That plant carbon transformed into those bodies. And then, you know, as they die and disintegrate, you get little itty bitty molecules of it attached to the soil pieces itself. So when people talk about carbon capture and carbon markets, they're talking just about increasing the pool, the total quantity of carbon that's stuck in that system. But since it's a system that's always moving, another way you can think of it is just increasing the flow of carbon through the system. So maybe the total amount there is the same, but the flow of it through the system is faster, right? Or it's moving through different channels, different organisms. And that's a lot of what we see when people are moving to a reduced tillage or a cover crop system. You've got maybe similar amounts of total carbon capture, but it's moving through the system in the spring and the fall with that living plant there instead of just in your residue. So you're changing how the carbon is moving as much as you're changing how much is there. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And hopefully it makes sense to a farmer who wants to do more of that. Not because it's good for the planet, not because it's good, but because it's going to make him more money.
Yeah, well, I always, you know, the amount of money you can make in a carbon market is pretty low right now. So I always say that those payments should be gravy on top of something you wanted to do anyway. And I think any farmer would agree that $7 to $10 an acre, or, you know, a quarter of a carbon credit, whatever they're offering in this northern climate, probably not going to be enough to make the practice pay all by itself.
So do something like farmers have done for centuries. Do something on your own.
All right. Well, do it to meet your own goals. How about that? You know, try to find a system that fits your goals. Don't do it because the market said you should.
Excellent. Excellent perspective on that. Anna Cates, University of Minnesota Office for Soil Health. Thank you very much for kind of leading off the afternoon of discussion on what's happening at the Soil Management Summit down in St. Cloud today. Sorry I couldn't be there with you guys, but we'll chat with some of the presenters and some of the folks involved. They're here through the day.
Yeah.
Anna, thank you very much for the visit. For more on soil health from the University of Minnesota Extension, where can producers go?
MOSH.umn.edu. That's the Minnesota Office for Soil Health. And thanks for the interview, Mick. I hope we get to see you next time.
Oh, well, next time I'll be there. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye. See you later, Anna. It's 1:30. Time for the closing markets next. Here in the North Dakota Corn Council studio, this is Farm Talk.